And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you for being here this morning. Take your Bibles. We continue in our series and turn to Luke chapter 2. You knew I'd have to get around to it. We haven't finished Christmas yet. I like Christmas, and so we're hanging in there a little while. And so Luke chapter 2 is where we're going to begin at today. The series that we've been preaching on is the gift of Christmas, and we've been taking the name of Jesus and the different titles of Jesus. Today we come to one that I like. We're coming to the Lord. Amen? I have been accused of being a lordship salvationist. You can label anything you want to. It doesn't matter to me, okay? But I believe when you get saved, you take him as Lord and Savior. And so that's where I stand at, okay? So I'm coming from there. Most of the church doesn't have a problem with the different things that we talked about. They don't have a problem with Jesus. We love the name of Jesus. That means he's our Savior, and we see all those different things. We like that. We talk about Emmanuel. Most folks in church don't have a problem with Emmanuel, which means, that he's God with us. Most people don't have a problem with that. Most people don't have Christ, which means the anointed one, okay? And most people don't have the problem with other things. But when you come to the Lord, people have a problem with that. Because everything in you today, everything, your flesh, the world, Satan, everything fights against this. Okay, not to say that it doesn't fight against the others, but it really fights against this. Because when you get to the name of Lord, when you get to this title, Lord, it really means something. And so what it means is, it means master, it means God. What it is, it's a turning over control, it's a showing of authority. And so a lot of people have a problem with that. If we're living in a society today, in our Western society today, we're wanting to be in control. We want to be independent. We want to have our own goals and our own things that we have a thought about, okay? And so when we talk about, Jesus being Lord, that kind of goes against what everything in us that we want to be in control. And so today you're going to feel a little tingling if you're saved today. And the Holy Spirit's going to be over here speaking to you on one side, and the world, the flesh, and the devil going to speak to you on the other side saying, man, I ain't doing that, okay? I didn't buy into that. Well, you need to get this right, okay? So we're going to have some scriptures today. I hope you need to underline in your Bible and things like that because it's really important. Now look here in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 10 and through 14. It says, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the who?
Lord.
Lord, right. This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger, and suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts will appear with the angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men whom his favor rests. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have a topic here today about one of the titles that you are given, and it's Lord. And Heavenly Father, when you sent your Son, you didn't only send him as a Savior, you sent him as to be Lord. And God, he is coming back, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And a lot of people miss that. A lot of folks take him as Savior, but they never buy into the Lord part. But God, we don't get one without the other. And so God, help us understand that today, dear God. Help us understand what this title of Lordship means and what it means to our life, God. And God, then let it be lived out in our lives day by day. We love you and we praise you, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. And amen. So, is Jesus my Lord? That's the question we're there. Look at your opening there. And this word in Greek means master or God. And what it's saying is my master. And what it does, it shows his authority. It shows his ownership, okay? And so it shows his ownership of everything. And so this is where the world has most of its problems. Like I said, Emmanuel, God with us. Most people in the church don't have a problem with that. They go right along with that. Christ, the anointed one, Messiah, we talked about that. Mostly there's no problem with that either. Jesus, Savior, we all buy into that. We like that, okay? He died on the cross for my sins. He paid for my sins. I'm not going to go to hell. We like that part. But when we get to this Lord, we get to this Master, then we say, wait a minute. I didn't buy into that, okay? I mean, I know I'm going to die, and when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell, and I'm buying into all that. But now, when I'm here on earth, I kind of want to be in control. I kind of want things my way. I've got my own goals and my own aspirations, and I've headed my own way, and I've got my plans, okay? Well, the problem with that is everything the Bible says goes against that, okay? But what the problem with you is the world, the flesh, and the devil, that's what they fight for. They're wanting control, okay? And so you need to understand that. So we're going to look at that today. So the manger was really a throne for a king to be born. And it was also a holy of holies because Jesus is now our high priest. It tells us in John 13 and verse 13, it says this. Jesus says this. He says, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightfully so, for that is what I am. Now, this word Lord, what it's doing, it's recognizing his deity again, okay? So when you see this word Lord with a large L, it's showing his deity. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. Now, in those days, the word Lord was used for different people. You would hear, if you read history, you'll say Lord here, Lord this, Lord. And what it means, it shows authority is what it does. A person in authority was sometimes called a Lord, okay? But here we see a large L, and what it's meaning, it's showing his deity. It's showing he's God with us again, okay? And we have to understand that. So today we're talking about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And what we need to understand is this, is that Jesus is Lord, whether he's your Lord or not. Amen? So you don't get to make that. You don't get to make that decision. See, Jesus is Lord. The question we're asking today is he your Lord, okay? Because he is Lord, and we have to understand that. So that's where we need to stand at. And so we have to, how do we submit? How do we buy into this Lordship of Jesus Christ? Well, here's the scriptures we're going to spring from. I had to go to Luke, okay? I got to get Luke in Christmas. Here's the scriptures we're going to spring from. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. This is a familiar scripture from us. I've preached know how many times from this scripture, and you've probably heard it multiple times too. Again, this is, again, showing Jesus' deity. When I got saved, I didn't have a problem with Jesus or anything like that. They started telling me that he was God. And I thought, well, how can God be in a bod, God's spirit? And so I didn't understand the Trinity and all that. So I sat down with my pastor, and he said, when you go through scripture and you see where Jesus is called God, then you need to write deity down. So if you go back and look at my first Bible that I had, you'll go through it and you'll see not only that, many things, but I'd write down deity. And here's one of the places I wrote that down. In Philippians 2, 5 and 11, it says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, here we go, here's where you need to underline, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. So it's saying he's God, okay? It says, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient, even death on the cross. Verse 9, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That at the name of who? Boy, that was awful weak. We're sorry, God. At the name of who?
Jesus,
right. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ, and here's our word, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so all this in Philippians here in chapter 2, all it does, it ties the deity of Jesus Christ and who he really is, and that's important to us. And so Jesus is Lord, and what does that mean to me? That's what number one is all about. And this is the what of it is. This is the what. What does it mean to me? Well, in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23, it says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, it means that he is the ruler. He's the boss. He's the master of our whole life. And what does that mean to me? It means everything to you, see. Means everything. Man, if when we submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, it means everything. Because why? Because now he is in control. See, so many Christians, what the problem is they take him as Savior, they don't take him as Lord, and they're still trying to take control of their lives. They're trying to do things on their own way. But that's not what the Bible tells us. Paul's saying our whole person is soul and spirit and body. And so we have a divide there. For the inner part, what we have here, we have this spiritual life, and it's unseen. And then we have a physical life that people see in us. And so we have a spiritual side that's unseen, and we have a physical life that people do see, okay? And all that has to come under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. What we try to do is we try to put God in a box. And we say, oh, well, he's okay for Sunday. He's okay for the spiritual side of my life. But, this physical, this part that I'm living out day by day, I'm going to take care of that on my own. And the only time we ever really call on God is when we really need something or when something bad happens in our life. And that's not how God operates. That's not what he wants to do, okay? Jesus desires to be Lord of all. Here's a saying that you've probably heard somebody say, including myself. Unless Jesus is Lord of all, he is not Lord at all. Amen? You've probably heard that said before. And that's true. So how do we get to this inner life? This is the part that what we call, we define it as our spiritual life, okay? And again, the inner is a spiritual, it's mind, it's our soul, it's our emotions, it's our will. And this is where we think and feel and choose, and this is where we make our plans from. So you can see how important this is. You think out things, you do things you do because of the way that you think, okay? And this is where the battleground's at. This is where our thinking, the way that we think and the way we feel, the way we see life, that's where the battleground is. We're supposed to have a Christian worldview. Now, what does that mean? When I have a Christian worldview, then I filter everything through the Word of God and through God. And I see the things that I see the world and everything through God's eyes, okay? So I filter it through the scriptures. I filter it through the truth. I don't make up my own mind based on how I feel. I make up my mind based on what scripture says and how God leads me to do those things. And so that's the inner part that we have. And that's the battleground that we fight on a day-to-day basis. You know, we hear all these things thrown at us in the world and all the things that's thrown at us in the TV and different things. And so it should be filtered through the Word of God saying, is this true? Should I be watching this? Should I be listening to this? Should I be doing? Should I be partaking in these things? And should be filtered through the things of God. And that's called a Christian worldview. It's how we think, okay? So I don't make apologies for the way that I think things. There's certain things that a lot of the world disagrees with me on because why? Because I filter it through the things of God. I filter it through the truth of God. I'm not buying in to just because it's 2018 that I've got to go along with certain things when I know the Bible says they're wrong. Amen? The Bible is still the truth today, and we need to realize that. It's not the truth for yesterday. It's the truth for today. And we need to understand that as Christians. And so the inner life, there's the battleground. But then what happens is how I think and how I react in my inner life and how I submit to the things of God in my inner life, the thing is that affects my outer life. That's what people see about me. So you've got to always realize this. Our physical life is only an expression of our inner life. It's only an expression. How you talk, how you act and react, the things you do and the things that the places you go, all that has to do with how you think on the inside, how you're dealing with the spiritual life. And so how do I know something about you? I watch you. I listen to you. I hear what you say. And I can tell a lot about your inner life based on your physical life because it comes out of you and how you talk and what you say and what you go along with. And so what we say and how we act, we do, and where we go tells us and others about the spiritual life that we're living. But what I want us to see today, we preach a lot about that, but what I want us to see today is that Jesus, listen, God wants to be Lord of all those things, okay? He doesn't want to only be part of the spiritual part of your inner life, the spiritual life. He wants to be part of all your life, the inner and the outer part of your life. And so all that's to be connected. We don't put God in a box and say, he's over here and this is the only place I'm going to use him. We do what? We give our lives to God and say, I'm yours, okay? And so what is Jesus Lord of in my life? That's the question we're asking. He wants the Lord of everything. He wants to be Lord of all in our lives. What does that include? Well, you could have a grocery list here, okay? But some of the things I'm going to name, relationships. He wants to control your relationships. Maybe you're in some relationships you don't need to be a part of. And God, the Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit's convicting you of that. And you're just kind of going along, okay? Maybe some habits that you're into. Maybe some hobbies. Maybe your finances. Maybe your goals. He wants to be over all those things in our life. He wants to be the center of our lives. And he wants to be over all those things. So that's the what. That's the what of this message. What does it mean to me? What does it mean when Jesus is Lord? What it means is everything. Is I'm under his control, okay? Okay, I'm surrendered. And we're going to see some of these words if we go on. So the second part, and this is a two-part message, okay? What does that mean? It means it's the how. How do I get there? You know, there's a lot of people in their life, they say, you know, if I knew what I needed to be doing, I'd be doing that. Well, you know, it's not hard to figure it out, okay? Get in the Word, okay? Get in the Word of God, and he shows you those things. But how? That's what the deal with most of us here today is that we know far more than we're applying, okay? We know the truth. I'm not going to reveal some great mystery to you today, some great truth you don't know all about. The thing is, you already know that. For most of you, say, oh, Jesus, Lord, got that, okay? Understand it, okay? You know, but how do I get there, Brother Nate? What's the nuts and bolts of it? Well, what does it involve? Well, in Romans 6 and verse 13, it says this. Excuse me. It says, do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness. It says, but rather offer yourself to God. And this word offer here in the Greek, what it means is, it means to turn over to. So when I'm offering my body to God, it means I'm turning over my body to God. I'm turning over my life to God. Okay, that's what he says. He says, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer the parts of your bodies to him as instruments of righteousness. And so what it means is I'm doing the right thing. There's two types of righteousness explained in the Bible. One type is when I get saved, I'm made right with God, okay? That's my relationship with God, okay? But there's also another part of righteousness in the Bible, which means my fellowship with God. And that's based on my actions and my attitude and how I obey God, okay? So when I get saved, my relationship will never change, but my fellowship does change. And what is that based on? It's based on my righteousness. It's based on my works. It's based on what I do, okay? My works don't save me, but my works keep me in fellowship with God. And so a lot of people are out of fellowship with God because of the life that they're living. Listen, so many people think you can walk into a service and listen to a preacher stump and stutter for 30 minutes and walk out and you've done your duty for God and he's just going to lay all these blessings on you. That's not the way that it works, okay? We're not here just for information. We're here for transformation, which means when we take the Word of God, we implement it to our lives, and when we walk out as different people, okay? And it's called sanctification. We're becoming more and more like Christ. And all of a sudden, the people we work around and the people we live with and the people that are in our family, they're saying, there's something different about you. You don't talk the same. You don't walk the same. You don't do the same things anymore. What's different? And what it is that you've surrendered yourself to Christ. And now you're doing what? You're filtering your life through what? A godly standard. You're doing it through a Christian worldview. And so you don't partake of many of the things that the world does. Now, how does the world see that? They see it's odd. they think we're living under a bunch of rules and regulations. But listen, let me let you in on a little secret here. I've got four boys, okay? And when they were growing up, they thought their name was No because I said it so much. But the problem is this, is the reason I said no is not because I want to hinder them, it's because I love them. And I want to keep them away from things that would hurt them and harm them. The same thing with God. Why does God say no to you? Because he knows that it can damage you, it can hurt you. But God says yes to a lot of things. And what does he say yes to? Things that can help us. Things that can help us to grow in our relationships and all the different things. And so, yes, God says no. Yes, there are rules. Yes, there are boundaries. But you have to understand, when you have a loving Heavenly Father, he sets those boundaries there because he loves you, okay? And like I'll never forget, Mona don't like me using this illustration, but anyway, I like to use it anyway. It's a good illustration. I had one of my little boys, and I can't remember which, probably Jeremy. He was the one that's a troublemaker. But anyways, Jeremy, one of the little boys always liked to, Mona would open the stove, and then he would like to run up to the stove like he was going to, he's going to stick his hand. Well, you can imagine us freaking out, you know. Well, anyway, I picked up him one day, and I stuck his head in the stove. I said, hot, you know, which everybody just kind of freaked out. But, I mean, I grabbed his hands. I'm trying to do it safe. I mean, it sounds bad, but it was kind of bad. But anyway, but the little rascal was going to touch the stove. He seemed to burn himself bad. So finally one day, I got enough of it. And so finally he knew it would freak me and his mama out, so he'd start running over like, you know. Well, I didn't think it's funny. So I grabbed little rascal and wrapped my hands around. I stuck his head in the stove, and I said, hot. You understand? Hot? Yeah, 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 yeah. Well, he didn't do that no more, okay? Because why? But I didn't do it because I didn't like him. I did it because I loved him, because one day he was going to run up there, and he's going to say, oh, yeah, you know, and then here we go to the doctor, and it was going to cost me a lot of money because little rascal wouldn't listen, okay? So I give him a lesson. God has to give us lessons sometimes, and sometimes they hurt, and sometimes they're scary, amen? But that's how God gets your attention. He has to turn up the thermometer every now and then, okay? And all of a sudden, it's like, yeah, God, I'm listening. Here I am. Now, what's wrong here? This is what's wrong. I've been trying to get your attention, but you won't listen. But now I got your listen. Now I got your attention, don't you? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you begin to listen, okay? And so God does that to us. Why? Because he loves us. He cares about us. And so when we're talking about this ownership, when we talk about when we talk about God being Lord, you need to realize when you put your hands in his hands, you're in the safest place you can be. Doesn't mean that bad things are not going to happen. Doesn't mean that you're always going to get what you want, but you're in the safest place that you can be when you submit yourself to Christ. And so what do I do in order for Jesus to be my Lord? Number one is that you surrender. It's a surrender. We don't like that word. It's surrender. We're taught to fight it through, man. Fight it through. But it's a surrendering. Again, as you grow in your Christian life, what you're going to learn is this, is where the world teaches you dependence or independence, where the world teaches you independence, Christianity teaches you dependence. The people that are the most mature in this building today are the ones that depend on God the most. I mean, the old saying, you know my favorite song, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. There'll be times in your life that you realize you have to have the hand of God to get through some of the situations in your life. And that's not a sign of weakness. That's a sign of strength. That's a sign of sanctification. Because God, what does this matter about? What I tell you? It matters about everything. Everything. I need God in, okay? Every breath I take, every I blink, it's all things that God give me, and I have to understand it. And as I mature, that sanctification, as I mature, then I begin to realize how much I need God in my life. And so it's a surrender. And it's to show his authority. I'm surrendering to his authority, giving God control of my life. And to give to you what? To give God control, here's an illustration I learned a long time ago. It's like when you get saved and the Holy Spirit comes and he fills your life. It's like he's taking over rooms of your life. It's like your body is a house and it's taking over rooms and you give God all control. Here I am, God, I'm surrendered. Here I am. I mean, I want to make you the Lord of my life, the Lord and Savior of my life, you know, and you give God control. Well, as you go through, all of a sudden you begin to start taking back one room after another. And all of a sudden you put up a sign saying, you know, God, I don't want you here posted. Stay out, okay? And all of a sudden you kind of go through your life, and the more world you get and the less you're obedient to God, the less you surrender, what happens is you begin to give back these rooms of your life, see? And what surrendering is saying, God, it's kicking down the door. It's taking off the sign and saying, God, here I am. I want you to be Lord of everything in my life again. So when it comes down to your relationships, you kind of lock God out. When it comes down to your finances, you kind of lock God out, you know. When it comes into your jobs and where you're and the things about your life, you kind of lock God out. Well, see, that's not making him Lord. See, that's taking back control. And that's what the world teaches us, that, you know, you be in control. You can, you know, you make those decisions where God's saying, you need me in this, okay? You need me in this. And so it's a type of surrendering, and we need to understand it. So God does what? He wants us to have everything in our lives turned over to him. Because why? When we turn it over to God, what God can do, first of all, he can bless it, and then next, he can use it. So if you want to be blessed by God and you want to be used by God, then you surrender to God. See, that's what you have to understand. You need to surrender to him, and God can use and bless those things in our lives. And so the second thing is, the first thing is surrender. The second thing is ownership. And man, this is really a hard one here. We don't like this either. It's surrender, ownership, those are words we don't like. We don't like to give in. We don't like to give up. We don't like to do those things. But listen to this verse here in 1 Corinthians 6, in verses 19 through 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Again, the temple in the Old Testament days was actually a building, okay? And it was done away with. And so now when we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. And the Bible is saying now that you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, and now you're the temple of God, okay? And so that's a big deal. We have Jesus in us. We have God in us, okay? And so that's a big deal. And so it says, he says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? It says, you are not your own. Now, you ought to underline that. You are not your own. You were bought at a price, and therefore honor God with your body. Again, what he's saying now that the Holy Spirit comes inside of us, that when we accept him as Lord and Savior, now that the Holy Spirit comes inside of us, now we're the temple of God, and I don't have the right to make my own decisions anymore. See, I'm his, okay? When I made him Lord, I gave up those rights. I gave him the authority. I gave him the ownership of my life. And so, see, everything in life tells us, man, you got rights. You got rights. You stand up for yourself. They can't do that. They can't say that. But see, really when it comes to lordship, we're laying over our rights and saying, God, you have a right to everything in my life. Here I am. I'm yours. And that's part of that surrender. That's part of that ownership of God. Told you it's going to be a little hard, but it's like, well, man, I don't want to do that. No, but listen, that's part of lordship, okay? Then he comes in, he says, and what it's saying is we belong to Jesus. And how have we purchased? We were purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? He has a right to us because of what he gave for us. And what he gave his life. Why does the Father have a right to us? Because he gave his Son. Why does Jesus have a right to our lives? Because he shed his blood for us. He gave his life for us. And so now we're his. I'm not my own anymore. When I got saved, I gave my life to God. And here I am. I'm yours. And that's what we have to understand. I have no personal rights to myself. I'm his. And there has to be a time in your life where you do that. Now, how do we live that out? Let's get to the practical part of that. Okay, Brother Nathan, I understand that. I mean, I understand. Okay, now he's Lord, and, you know, I'm surrendering. I'm ownership. I understand all those things. Now, how do I do that on a day-to-day basis? Well, it's one thing. How do I live it out? It's obedience. It's living in obedience is what it comes down to. It's taking the things that you know are true and applying them to your life. Like I said, most of us in this room, I'm not telling you anything that you probably hadn't already heard, or a lot of you anyway. Some of you are. But with most of you, I'm telling you something you've already heard before. And so you know the truth. You're just not living by that truth. You understand what we're talking about, but you've not applied it to your life. And how do you do that? You do that through a sense of obedience. In Luke 6, in verse 46, it says this. It says, and here's Jesus again. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Okay? He's saying, why do you call me Lord? Which that means, Lord means what? It shows authority. It shows ownership, okay? It's showing, I mean, you know, you're my master. You're my master. And the problem is, the problem is not with the master. The problem is with the servants, okay? We're not good servants because, one, we're not living in obedience to God. And that's what he's saying. He says, you call me Lord, Lord, but you do not do what I say. And why? It's because, again, we want that ownership. We want that control. I want to run my life. I have my goals. I have my aspirations. I have my dreams. And that's what's important to me, see? And God says, what? Do you not trust me enough with those things? You know, See, what we say is, oh, God, I'll trust you enough to save me and take me to heaven when I die, but I don't trust you enough to live my life with you right now. I don't think you know how to operate, see. I don't think you know how to deal with my life and the things that's going to make me happy and the things that are going to satisfy me. I don't think you can control. I don't think you can be in control of those things and me really have a genuine godly life. But God says that's not true. And so what we have to come to conclusion in obedience is we have to come to the thing and say this: here I am, Lord, I'm yours. So you need to ask yourself this question: has there ever been a time in your life when you said, here I am, Lord, I'm yours? Okay. So see, what is the problem with the church? The problem with the church today is this, is you've got a lot of lost church members. And this is the reason. See, a lot of people don't like to talk about this. Let's just cover it up. You know, man, you came down the aisle, you shook my hand, you got baptized, you take the Lord's Supper, you do this, you do that. And so, man, everything must be right. Well, why is the church in the shape it is in today? It's because you've got a lot of people that are lost church members. And what I'm saying is this: you can be a church member and still go to hell. Amen? Because there's only one type of person that's going to go to heaven, and that's the person that's taking Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Remember Romans 10? You know, we say, you know, it's, you know, what do we say in Romans 10? You know, I go through that all the time. There's a two parts to that, okay? It tells us how to be saved. When we talk to Romans 10:13, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is
Lord,
right, and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, then you'll be saved. See, the two parts. See, I like that Jesus was raised from the dead because that makes him my Savior, but I don't like he's the Lord of my life and you're in control because, see, I had to let go of some things, and I might not want to do that, see. And so some people got a problem with that. And so making him Lord is what? It's surrendering. That word is making my master. He's the boss. He's in control now. And I don't like to talk like that. I don't like to give in to him. Let me tell you what. He's the best one that can be in control. Amen? Listen, he don't only know what's going on today. He knows what's going on tomorrow and next week and next month and next year. And for the eternity, he already knows where this world's going. Amen? And so he's prepared for those things. And so I'm giving it over to somebody that says, I know what's going to happen and I know where you need to be and when you need to be and what you need to be doing. And I don't think there ought not be a problem in our lives, but we struggle with those things. And so here I am, Lord, send me. Now what we like to do is this. Here's a perfect illustration I found in the Bible of how we like to deal with God, okay? This is how we like to deal with God. It's found in Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22. Here it comes. It says, now a man came up to Jesus and asked, teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? The first thing most of the world thinks is a works type salvation. What can I do to earn God's favor to let me into heaven, okay? Well, what we have to do is we have to commit our life to Jesus Christ. We have to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Because why? Because he's already done it for us. And so it's not us trying to get to God. It's God coming down to us with his Son. And now we're just believing in what he's done. And that's dying on the cross for our sins, okay? So it's not a works-type salvation. What our part is believing that, okay? And again, accepting that and applying it to our lives and to our hearts. Then he goes on. He says, now there was a man that came up to Jesus and asked, teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? It says, why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there is only one who is good. Now see, most of you in this room, if I asked you is good, you'd start saying, yeah, I'm good, okay. Well, Jesus says, why do you call me good? There's only one that's good, and he's talking about God. It says, if you want to enter life, obey the commandments. He knew what he was looking for. Because he said what? He says, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Like he's got to get it, okay? And that's how most people think, and maybe even you. But he goes on, he says, if you want to enter life, obey the commandments. He says, which ones? Okay, he says, man, I mean, there's a bunch of commandments. He's not just talking about the Big Ten. He's talking about, you know, a bunch of commandments. He said, the man inquired. Jesus replied, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. That was enough to disqualify him, okay? But listen to what he says, okay? All these I have kept, the young man said, okay? What's he saying? Now, who is he basing that on? He was basing it on somebody down the road, you know. See, we all, what we do, see, the standard of life, the standard of being called good is Jesus Christ. And he's perfect. He never sinned. And so he's, but see, what the problem is, we get into the world, and our standard's the old boy down the road that beats his wife and he goes home drunk every day and, you know, and won't take care of his family. And so when we say I'm good, we're not basing it on Jesus. Oh, we wouldn't do that. We're basing it on a boy that don't take care of his family and don't do anything for the Lord, okay? That's what we base it on. So he goes on, he says, what? All these I have kept, the young man said, and what do I still lack? Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come, follow me. But here's our reaction. Here's where the lordship part falls off. In verse 22, then the young man, it says, when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Now, does that mean that we have to, when we get saved, that we have to take everything we have and give it to the Lord? It does. Sure does. It means everything you have, you got to give it to the Lord. That doesn't mean bring it to the church and give it to the preacher, okay? It doesn't mean give it all away, but what you have to do, you have to give it to the Lord saying, what? I surrender this. This is yours. Everything I have, my money, my life, everything I have is all yours. And so you have to give it to him. But see, the problem is the problem with him is he had something that he valued more than God. He had something he valued more than Jesus. And so the question I'm asking you today is this. Is there anything in your life that you value more than Jesus Christ? See? Because if you do, then what it is you hadn't put that under the lordship of Jesus Christ. You say, well, brother, what do you mean? I mean, is there anything that you value more than Jesus Christ? You say, no. Well, there's anything that's what? Is there anything that's an idol in your life? And how do we know what idols are in our lives? It's what you give your time to. It's what you give your talents to. And it's what you give your treasures to. Well, those are the important things in your life. For some people, you have an idol. It's your kids are an idol. You put them above God, okay? And the only reason you're here today is because you think this is a good place to bring your kids because you don't want them to go to jail, okay? And so maybe the preacher will say something, you know, maybe the teacher will say something, you know. But now, if you didn't have any kids, you'd be out here at Walmart shopping like the rest of the world, a lot of the rest of the world is. And now some of you, it's just your kids or maybe it's your grandkids. For some of you, it's a job. For some of you, it's a hobby. For some of us, it's something else. And so we put it before the Lord. And it's what we give our time to. It's what we give our talents to. And it's what we give our treasures to. It's what we value. And that's what we see. But what's important to us? But what he's saying, what was important to him, his wealth was important. And what did he do? He walked off. And we don't know what happened to this young man, but let me tell you what. If he never did what Jesus said, he died and went to hell. You say he died and went to hell as a rich man, but what's it going to do for him in hell? Nothing, you know. Not going to do anything. You know, Harold walked in here the other day with a sports coat on. He said it had fake pockets in it. And I said, that's a good one to get buried in because you're not going to carry anything with you, okay? And so, because we ain't carrying anything with us, see? So he left it all behind, see? And so, but he valued something more than God. So the question is, what do I value more than God? What do I think worth more than Jesus is? Listen, let's bring it down to this. Let's bring it down to this. I know the kids are here this morning. I'm kind of rushing through this because y'all don't have to stick your head in the oven or anything. But you know what? Let me get you. This is what I'm thinking here. I wrote this before I come out. This is the bottom line. When I get the lordship of Jesus Christ right, it settles everything else in my life. I'm going to tell you that's a statement you ought to write down. I didn't put it in your bulletin. It's something the Lord laid on my heart just a while ago. When I get this lordship part right, everything else will take care of itself. Because what it is, I surrender everything to him, see? Every part of my life, I'm surrendered to him, and I give it over to him. And so it's like, God, I'm yours, here I am, you know, and everything I have. And so what I do is I walk out and I get up every day and I open my hands and say, God, it's all yours. You tell me what you want me to do with it, you know. All my wealth is yours, my family is yours, my health is yours, my life is yours, everything I have is yours, it's all yours, and what do you want me to do with it? Now see, the thing of it is, he's already Lord anyway, you don't make that decision. The question is he your Lord? And how he becomes your Lord is what? It's when you surrender to him. It's when you give ownership to him, saying, you here I am, I'm all yours. And so what you have to do is you have to lay everything else down. All decisions in your life, you base it on what you feel like God's leading you to do. And what you'll find out is this. He didn't complicate your life. Most time, he simplifies your life. Because what he'll do is in the decision-making of your life, what he'll do, he'll bring somebody into your life, or you'll be reading something, or he might impress something on you that helps you make the right decision. Until you get to the point where you can make the right decision, the best decision is not to make one at all. And just stop. Because sometimes God just wants to slow us down and say, what? It's not the right time. That's the right decision, but it's not the right time. Everything's not lined out. And what you need to realize is that he knows everything. And so he knows all that. But so you better listen to him because I've made a lot of decisions in my life that were probably good decisions. I just did it at the wrong time. And it didn't pay out for me. It didn't work out for me. And all of us can say that because why? We wasn't listening to the things of God. And so when the lordship of Jesus Christ is settled in my life, everything else will be also. And it'll give me a peace and a patience and an understanding. And I don't run through life and I'm worried about things and I'm stressed out about things. Because why? Because I know it's all in God. And say, God, what do you want me to do? God, you need to take care of this. You need to handle this situation for me. And all that comes down to one thing is that if we talked about it Wednesday night, do I really trust God? And so you'll never come to this point in your life if you don't trust God. And the only way you'll ever really trust God is what we talked about Wednesday night, that you'll have to know God. And see, if you don't really know God, then you'll never trust Him. If you don't ever trust Him, you'll never love Him. If you don't ever love Him, you'll never obey Him. If you don't ever obey Him, you won't ever serve Him. And so we go through that all the time in our church. Because why? Because it's the truth. Because it all comes back to, if I'm ever going to make Him Lord of my life, then I've got to really know God. And I'm not talking about just about Him. The illustration I used Wednesday night was with Mona. You know, I can tell you I know Abraham Lincoln, okay? Well, you know, by looking at me, well, hopefully by looking at me, I'm not that old, okay? But when I say I know him, that means I've read about him. I've watched stuff about him. I know about him. But when I tell you I know Mona, that's a whole different scenario. Because why? You know that she's my wife, and I really know her. And so there's a lot of people that know about God, but they don't really know God. And when you don't really know God, then you'll never trust God. And when you can, you'll never trust it. You'll never love anybody you really don't trust. And you'll never obey anybody you really don't love. And you're sure not going to serve somebody you're not willing to obey. And so it all comes back to really knowing God. So you've got to know God. For this to ever get in your life, you say, well, Brother Nathan, I've been saved for a long time, and I never have submitted to that lordship. That just kind of gets to me, kind of bothers me. But the problem is, see, is you don't really know God, because if you knew Him, you'd trust Him. You'd say, God, I want it in your hands. I want you to do it. I want you to know. I want you to have it, okay? And because, why? You know you can trust Him with it. See, for Jesus to be our Lord, we have to obey what I call the three A's of the life of lordship. And I read about this a long time ago, and I forgot about it. This is something that's real old. I read a long time ago about it, and I was reading here a few months ago about it. And I brought it out in a sermon. I can't remember when it was anyway. But it's called the three A's of lordship, okay? And this is where it is. You need to write these down. I don't think I had this in your bulletin. I might have. I can't remember when. This is what it is, and I said this several months ago. Here's the three A's of lordship. Anywhere, anytime, at any cost. You need to write that down. If I didn't have it, did I have it in your bulletin? Yeah. All right. Well, man, I was way ahead then, okay? Just think about that. Now, think about this. This is the three A's of lordship. Anywhere, anytime, at any cost. And what you're doing is you're just getting up every day and saying, God, I'm yours. I'm yours, you know. And we call that lordship, and we call that surrender, and we call that ownership. We're trying to, God, I'm giving it all to you. And what you need to realize when you begin to do that, and listen, it ain't going to be easy. It's not going to be easy, because all of a sudden you begin to make your decisions based on your worldview. You filter it through the Word of God. You filter it through the Holy Spirit of God and say, God, is this the right decision? I'm not basing on what the world says. I'm not necessarily basing on what my friends say. I'm basing on what I want to know exactly what you do. And what you're asking for, God, I want to know your will. And I'm going to tell you what. My kids don't have to beg me to tell them what's good for them. And you don't have to do that to your father either. He loves you. He'll show you. Get into His Word. Spend some time with Him. He'll put godly people around you that you can get advice from time to time, okay? But He'll show you what His will for. And so lordship involves all three of those things. And then what it comes down to is this. It comes down to really recognizing who Jesus Christ is. And I wrote this verse down in John 20 and verse 28. And this is when Thomas had this great revelation. Remember, this stems from when Thomas says that I'm not going to believe in Jesus until I see the holes in His hands and the spear in His side. And then what does he come? Here's the conclusion. And here's the conclusion I want you to come up with this morning is this. Thomas said to him in John 20, 28, Thomas said to him, My Lord and my God. Have you ever declared Jesus Christ your Lord and your God? Let me tell you what, friend, if you've not, then you need to check your salvation, because He is. And if all you've ever done is bought what we call fire in church and said, oh, I don't want to go to hell, so I'll pray a prayer, I'll do what the preacher says, I'll get baptized, I'll get wet, I'll do whatever, you know. If you've never surrendered your life to Christ and say, now you're my Lord and you're my God, you know, and I do want you as my Savior too. Because why? What did Romans 10 and verse and tell us? It says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is what? And believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. And you will be what?
Saved.
See, there's a two parts to that. See, and a lot of people just want to collect one thing. And that's why today I think our church is in the shape it's in. Because why? We have a lot of people on the road, but you're not on the road. Amen? You're on our road, but you're not on His road. And you better get on His road, because our road don't make any difference. Okay? Don't make any difference. So is Jesus really your Lord and your Savior today? In closing, let's look at this. Who is Lord of my life? Somebody is. You're somebody's in control. For a lot of it, it's you, okay? But or somebody's in control of your life, okay? Somebody is. The lesson today is this. The lesson of the life day is Jesus is Lord. He might not be your Lord, but Jesus is Lord. Amen? And what Philippians tells us is that one day you're going to bow and knee to Jesus. You're going to bow and knee to Jesus. You do that because you want to, or you do it because you have to, but one day you're going to do it. Amen? Because He is the Lord, and we need to realize that. And the last thing, the application is what in my life is worth more than Jesus? I mean, what did you sit out there this morning and say, man, I don't know about this lordship. I mean, this right here, I really want to do this, and I don't really think that's what God wants, and so I'd rather have it more than I had Him. What was that the devil is tempting you? What is it? What's the world pulling? What's the flesh pulling away from you to say that? And so, the life of lordship. Now, you've heard me use this a lot here lately too, because this is I read something and it sticks in my head. But the life of lordship would be the life you choose if you knew everything God did. Think about that. The life of lordship would be what you choose if you knew everything God did. See, if I knew everything that God did, then I'd say, God, I want to be under your lordship because I know you know more than I do. I know you're able to handle things more than I do. So see, if you say, I don't want this life of lordship, the problem is you don't know all that God does. Because He's the one you want in control of your life. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You today, dear God. And God, we went through a lot of different titles, and we went through Your name through this Christmas season, and it is all a gift. And sometimes, Lord, we don't see Lord as being a gift to us, but God, You are a gift to us, even when You're Lord, because God, You know far more than we will ever know. And God, I pray for some out here today that some maybe have never accepted You as their Lord and their Savior, Lord. They've never done that. Yeah, they've prayed a prayer, or maybe they don't want to go to hell, and all that's true, and all that's good. But God, the Bible tells us there has to be a place in our lives where we turn our lives over to You. And here we are, we open our lives and say, God, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I give You control. I give You ownership of my life because You are God, and You deserve those things, Lord. And so, God, maybe today is the first day for someone to truly understand that and truly wants to make that commitment to You, is accepting You as their Lord and their Savior, Lord, and giving control of their lives. But for many of us in here today, dear God, like myself, God, I have taken You as Lord or Savior in my life, but there's been things in my life that, God, I've chosen over You. There might be a habit or a hobby or a relationship or something in my life that, God, that I keep taking back because, God, I'm comfortable with it. I have sin in my life, and I'm comfortable. It has a payoff, and I'm benefiting from it somehow. But God, help me see truth today. God, it's not worth my fellowship with You. It's not worth You not being Lord of my life and You being in control of my life. So take whatever it might be, God, and God, I offer it back to You, Lord. And God, I want You to bless that part of my life, and I want You to use that part of my life. So God, I'm surrendering that to You today, dear God. So God, You use my life and every area of my life to glorify and honor You. And God, that's what I need today. And so maybe this invitation, for some it might be for salvation. For others it might be, God, just for coming back to You and giving You areas of our lives, God. You know what our needs are, God. You know every heart in this building today, God. So, God, do business with us, Lord. That's what an invitation is all about, God. You're inviting us to come and get right with You and surrendering ourselves afresh in a new day. God, help that be truth. And we pray this in the name of Jesus and amen. Let's all stand. Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And maybe today is the day of your salvation, you know. Or maybe here today you're struggling with something in your life, you know, and you need to get it right with God. And you know that that's standing in the way of what God's trying to do in your life, you know. Or maybe you're here today and you need to pray with Mike or myself about something in your life or somebody else's life. You've got a situation you're praying with somebody or for somebody or whatever. Or maybe you just want to come to the altar and kneel down before the God and get things right. And here we're getting ready to go into a new year, and man, you want to start off right with God. But if you have a need in your life, you're welcome to come. This invitation is from God to you, and you come if you have a need, okay? Brother?